Hello, beautiful human. Thank you so much for allowing our conversation with Why Don't We into your ears. We have a lot to cover. They have a brand new album out. It is called The Good Times and the Bad Ones. This album, 100% created by them. It's unlike any other project they've put out. I really do love these guys, and I will forever have a special place in my heart. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. I beg you to subscribe to our podcast. And what are you currently listening to? Besides Why Don't We, of course. Let me know who we should have on the show and who I should be listening to. Keep me hip. Keep me cool, please. Zach Sang on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Okay, let's do this. Well, hello there. Beautiful human, we got Dan here, we got me, and we got Why Don't We?
Hey!
Hey, guys!
From a studio that is home to a part of the album, but not the full thing.
Right.
So excited to hang out with y'all. How do you feel now that it's out?
Oh, crazy. Man.
Man.
I'm ecstatic.
It's kind of, it just is weird. It's like, here we are.
It's like, shoot, dog. It's not the typical album release, but it's a good one.
It's good.
I wish we were, yeah.
I really wish we were in studio right now.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
I love the couch at your studio with the pillows.
Oh, it's so nice.
Dude. Ariana Grande, like, touch that pillow. That's crazy.
What did you pull that out?
The couch misses you, by the way. But, you know, it is different, but this album is different too. It is, would you say, the most genuine body of work y'all have put out into the world?
Oh,
yeah. That is exactly
100%.
By far.
For sure.
Yeah.
It is, yeah, it's very
We're super proud of
us.
It.
It's our baby boo-boo.
We crafted this album in a way that we wanted it to be, you know?
It's the first music that we've ever put out that comes entirely from us. The writing, the production, the melodies, you know, the track list, everything is straight from us. It's been a little high pressure in some sense. But, you know, this is, as a band, you know, all you can really hope for is that one day you write and produce your own music and the world accepts it. And that's how it's feeling so far, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Why now? Why were you all ready?
We're
always writing. Why now? Honestly, it had to be now. It was supposed to be 4 months prior, and then COVID hit, and you know that's just something you can't control. And you know you got to be safe, and you got to, you know, respect, you know, other people's safety and health. And so we couldn't finish the album. Mm-hmm. We had most of it all written, but you had to record it. And that was the curveball that, mm-hmm. you know, was thrown at us. I think the second we were able to put music out again, we were like, let's do it.
But also, mm-hmm. like, we were just writing so much, like, on the road. We'd finish the show, and then it's either, like, you go to sleep or you go in the back of the bus, write a song, or you watch a movie or whatever it is. But it was like one of the few options that we were, you know, able to do on the road. So we just got way down the rabbit hole and, you know, writing a ton all the time. And actually, Zach, you were one of the people who gave us a lot of confidence. I remember we were at a radio show. Was it in Memphis?
I think
it was. But we were backstage and we played you a bunch of the stuff and you were like, this is really good, guys. And like, just like having people around us telling us that it was really good and not having it out in the world and only having stuff that other people had written for us out in the world. It was like, I think we should get some of this out there. So that's what started the conversation.
Yeah.
By the way, it was very cool to hear the songs that you played backstage at that arena in Memphis and hearing it on the album. It felt not only full circle, but also at the same time, it feels just very true to you. And I don't know, it just hits different in a plethora of different ways. So when did this album actually start? Was it 2 years ago?
It was 3 years ago, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time.
This boy been growing up. Yeah, he's a little 3-year-old dude. Like,
we just went through a lot of time while we were touring where we didn't feel like we had the time to even sit down and perfect the music that we had been working on or even really work on our craft in a proper setting. But also, again, just back to the confidence thing. You know, we were writing, and for a while we had written probably 50 to 100 songs, and we hadn't even showed our management, we hadn't showed our label, we hadn't really showed anybody, just because we were like, you know, this is the stuff we're doing in the back of the bus. Like, I don't know if it's good or not. And so, again, you were, like, one of the first people that we actually, like, played stuff for and wanted to get an opinion from. And, yeah, from there, the fire started, and our fans kind of caught on. And we had played some stuff, some early stuff for a couple fans way back, just to kind of get their opinion and, you know, pick their brain a little bit. And they were also very much like, you know, we can kind of tell, especially by the end of our last tour, you know, we can kind of tell that you guys might not be doing everything that you want to be doing. And when we played him the music, they were like, you guys got to put this stuff out. Like, this stuff feels so genuine and so you. And so, yeah, shout out to our fans because they really inspired that as well.
It just, I was thinking about it today as I was listening to the album a few times. I was like, everything else was so good, but it was so polished. And this is polished in a different way. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is perfect, but like, there's still room for personality, and it's just, I don't know. It just, it's different. Not a knock at anything else that you've put out. What do you take with you? Sorry, you go.
No, I was just agreeing with you. I was saying, cause you said not a knock on anything we've put out. And like, we've also been trying to, you know, be very clear on that sense too. Like we don't want to rag on any of our old stuff because our old stuff is our foundation.
Come on,
like,
Friends, every radio.
Yeah. Eight letters sent us on a world tour. You know, that is something that's crazy in and of itself. But yeah, it was very polished and it was, you know, manufactured, and a lot of it was like in conjunction with our label. And, you know, we had a lot of A&R meetings with executives and stuff about, you know, how do we go forward? And quite frankly, 3 years ago, even, I don't think we were prepared to even write our own album or even, you know, go out on a limb like that. We just hadn't grown up in that way yet. And, you know, the quarantine, I think, really helped that, because we finally had the time to sit down and have the conversation amongst ourselves, like, who do we want to be? Like, you know, what mark do we want to leave on the world, and what impression do we want to give people about ourselves? And we figured, I mean, shit, we might as well just give them the most honest version of ourselves we can. You know, we haven't really 100% done that.
So was this reinvention planned out, or did you guys come together and talk about it, or it just kind of happened naturally as you guys got older and mature?
We talked a lot about,
I think we were
who we were prior, and I would say we found success before our identity, which isn't always the case, and it's a blessing, I really do think, but we were definitely in an identity crisis, you know. It was like one song would be, you know, way more on the top 40 pop spectrum, and the next one would be an R&B record, and the next one would be alternative. You know, it was like, well, you're just shooting out kind of equally what we thought would be good and what the label was saying would be good. And, you know, we were just kind of like in the midst of this on tour. And, it was tough because, you know, we're having all the success, but equally we were so busy that we couldn't really figure out who is Why Don't We? And so for us, you know, COVID in a weird way, there was some silver lining there of like, we had to sit down for a little bit, even if, you know, we didn't want to, or if management wanted us to go out and tour more or anything like that, we had to sit down and just relax for a second. I think it just, you know, all those thoughts came forward now, and we were like, wow, we can really, you know, be who we want to be when we get back out there. And now we're just waiting for the day we can actually, you know, get back out there.
And the hiatus was good because in addition to that, it also allowed us to be gone for a second and then come back with something very strong that we were very passionate about in a very big way. And that was Fallen. And, you know, Fallen was our kick the door down single, like, hey, this is really Why Don't We? And we're capable of this, and we do this. We just haven't really gotten a chance to show you yet.
Yeah.
Do you figure out your identity before you start making music, or only after you start creating, like, finish the album?
Oh, good question. You find it in so many outlets. You find it in who you're listening to, obviously, like what sticks out to you. You find it in, for us, we found it in our fans a lot too, because it was equally, you know, I've heard this advice before, but it's like when you write a song, write one for you and one for the fans, you know, so that you find a balance. And, you know, so we definitely took into consideration, like, what do our fans gravitate towards, you know, and that was part of, you know, figuring out the sound. But then it came down to, I guess, just, yeah, like, experimenting. We haven't had any time to do that. I think the first song that started to go in like a cool direction was Love Song.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was the first one that started to go into this like alternative glam pop rock world that was really cool, and we were like, oh
yeah, I remember
sounding crazy.
Daniel came over to my house and we were having a party. This is before COVID. And I'd had a few drinks. He pulled up and he's like, yo, I have this crazy song I just wrote today. And
we went out
to his car and he played it, and I was like, it was so sick. That moment was really cool. But I remember thinking it was so far like out of left field at the time, like it wasn't even a thought that we could put that out. And so I was like, oh, we should give this to like five Seconds of Summer or like someone like that, like they would kill this. Like,
right. But like, we actually tweeted them.
Yeah, we tweeted them and we're like, yo, we have a song.
Yeah. And then, you know, over time we started making more songs like that. And, you know, I'll Be Okay is very similar to Love Song. And all these songs started like forming this album. And we were like, damn, this is a dope album if it could come out.
Yeah, it just started to.
And, you know, the last piece of the cake is obviously, like, our team, our label, our management. And, you know, luckily our fans really trust us, and we knew they'd be on board, you know. And that's, I think that in itself is a blessing. That's not always the case, you know. But they're so open-minded.
It was great to get Atlantic's approval as well.
Yeah, they did approve of it, which was like, we did it.
That was a crazy day. Because Atlantic hadn't heard anything, and we made the whole album, and we recorded the whole thing, and then we sent it to our label, and it was this crazy like moment of truth. And then they listened to it, and it was just like, I remember we got an email from Craig, the chairman of Atlantic, that was just like, "You guys are amazing. This is crazy. I didn't know you guys were capable of this." And that was like one of the most validating days.
I was in tears. But...
What? We were like, if the chairman of our label doesn't know we could do this, the world definitely doesn't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we were at a Shawn Mendes concert.
He said the same thing, kind of.
Chicago, Boston,
Atlanta.
Yeah. Sean was really nice. He got us in like this really great seating, and after the show, we talked to him for like an hour, and I remember he basically said, you know, you do all the interviews and the meet and greets and all that stuff for that moment of getting on stage. That's like the best part of the day, you know, and all the tiring work that you do all day pays off when you hit that stage. And if you don't love what you're doing on stage, then it
then
will start to not feel worth it.
It's like, then what are you doing?
Yeah. And we were like, yeah, you're right. We really want to play instruments on stage. And he was like, you guys play instruments? And we were like, oh, shit. We got a lot of work to do.
We heard that a lot. We heard a lot of people being like, y'all play instruments?
But, you know, when we were in our own world, you know, we just figured our fans knew, so everyone knew, but not even a lot of fans knew, you know?
The truth is, like, even I didn't know to a certain degree, you know? And what ended up happening was, I remember bringing it up in an interview, and I've seen you guys perform a lot. I mean, not like, I don't want to brag, but I've seen you perform a ton of times, you know, I'm a fan. So
I love you.
Love back. Shawn Mendes sets you on this want to bring live instruments into the fold, and that gets you crafting music differently, knowing that you want to bring that out.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Oh, and the whole album was written and produced for a live tour. You know, it's very live instrument driven, which is very different than a lot of the stuff that we've done in the past. There's a lot of pianos, a lot of synth keys, a lot of guitars, and stuff like that, that, you know, it calls for all of that on stage. And so it's a bit unfortunate that we can't actually get out on the road and play it. But I mean, the music is great, and that's all that we could ask for right now, you know?
I gotta hit pause to talk about our pets. I love PetSmart. And the truth is, my dog Lou, he's a 3-year-old French bulldog. Most days, he's the only reason I smile. And he's really the only reason I made it through this pandemic. And PetSmart has allowed me to spoil him no matter what. And for that, I am forever appreciative of them. because not only do they do curbside pickup and drop off, their stores follow all the CDC recommendations, but they also do free delivery powered by DoorDash. Free delivery, my friend, from PetSmart, powered by DoorDash now through January 31st. The people who work there are just the best, too. I really do love going in with them because they treat Lou with so much love. They also carry the brands that Lou and I love. So PetSmart, it's just the place. They make it effortless, easy, efficient, and they just get it done. Curbside pickup and drop off. Their stores are pristine, but also free delivery powered by DoorDash now through January 31st. Go to PetSmart.com for details.
Why haven't you been playing music, playing instruments in the past? Were you not allowed?
Sort of.
Yeah, kind of. A couple reasons. I mean, some time.
Wasn't enough money to do it.
Yeah, there was budget concerns for a while, which was kind
of. We were definitely upset about it for a long time. You know, we were
It's not how we started. It's not how the first tour was. You know,
yeah, so I feel it definitely felt like in a weird way we kind of had to. Hit choreo. We had to fit this mesh of what you know.
Yeah,
boy bands, ultimately,
ultimately, that's not what we felt comfortable with. You know, and I think that I'm not a dancer. You know.
Yeah, but again, fans were the ones that. You know, that's where it got tricky is, you know, we thought we had to do this really to please them, and then they were the people to come to us and say, we know that this isn't you, just be you, that's all we want to see. And so that was, you know, that was a really, really dope moment.
I think that hitting choreo and, it gave us a lot of stage presence, which is a good thing. I think in the future, when we tour, I think we'll probably incorporate some of that into the show as well. I don't think it would be the best thing if we were just stuck behind our instruments the whole show. I don't know.
I agree. No regrets, bro. We did the thing. Mm-hmm.
Did y'all play live on this album, or how did you put these records together?
Yeah, we played live on a good amount of the album. Mm-hmm.
For some of it, we had some expert professionals come in and really lay down some really saucy stuff just for the sake of it being a studio quality piece of work. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've been in rehearsals and whatnot, and it's sounding really great. We've been having so much fun just actually getting in and playing the records, and it feels different, and we haven't been able to do it in front of a crowd at all. But even just in the rehearsal space, it feels different. Actually playing these songs and performing them than it has been in the past. Yeah, it's so fun, man. And in the same right, how it feels new to us and to our fans and probably to the world. But we're also throwing it back to our roots, you know, we're taking it back to what we grew up doing. We grew up solo artists playing guitar and keys and doing YouTube covers on it all and, you know, producing loops and that whole thing. So we're really taking it back to the place that we started.
We're just throwing it back.
Which is interesting as well.
What is it like arranging a performance like this? And it's songs that you've made 100% on your own.
Yeah. It was really cool, especially on the song Gray. It's kind of the ballad of the album. It was right before COVID hit. And we got Studio A at Capitol Records for the day. And we had a 22-piece orchestra?
Or 18-piece orchestra
in there. And it was, the most insane feeling to, you know, a song that we wrote completely. Yeah, this is the score of it that they played.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. It's super bright, but...
Yeah. So everybody's in the studio. We've got cellos, you know, bass, stand-up bass, and violins, and all this crazy stuff, and they're all playing the sheet music to Gray, and there's a conductor in there doing the whole... It was like, whoa, this feels huge.
The strings hit in such an emotional way. I read that that's Zach's favorite from the album.
Gray?
Yeah.
No. I mean, it's not that I hate it. I think it's just I love the lyrics and I love everything about it. Like, it's definitely not. Is that bad that I just said that?
No, the internet lied. It's okay.
No, because it's not I don't think I would consider it my favorite because I like more upbeat songs. That's just how I am. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite as of right now, I mean, it changes every day. I'll Be Okay is my favorite right now. Yeah, but Gray, Gray is still, I think, the most, the best written song on the album.
Yeah.
Who are you speaking to in so Gray? Hard. And how does that song begin?
That song, who are we speaking to, did you ask?
Yeah, because it does sound like you're talking to one person or a group of people.
Yeah. That song is about just like a really kind of low point right after a relationship and feeling like might, you know, you might have messed up and it's not a great time. And it's, I think it was cool to incorporate that into the song.
How does that work? Does somebody go through something and then you go to Daniel and you kind of dissect it? What is the process like?
Yeah, it just sort of formed. Yeah, me and Daniel wrote that summer 2019, I think. And we had a session booked that day with Michael Pollack, who's an amazing writer. And I remember our A&R called us and we're like, hey, we have the studio for a couple hours beforehand if you guys want to get in. We're like, all right, free studio, let's go. Like, that sounds fun. And so we pulled up and that song came out. And then Michael Pollack pulled up for the session and we had the song done and he was like, what were you guys working on? And we played it for him and he was in tears by the end of it. And it was just like this crazy moment of like, wow, this must be really good. Like, we got to fight for this music. That was a really cool moment. And yeah, definitely some personal stuff in that one.
Does it get easier sharing these personal antidotes? Because I feel like each song is a personal antidote.
I think for a while we were really in this headspace of being, I would say, too closed off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like there was a bit of like this, like we had a bit of like boy band training, as like every band does. And I think we were kind of taught to be more closed off than we should be as artists.
Mm-hmm.
As stars, it could be great. But I think we, with this album, really were like, we want to be artists more than anything else. The best art is the most honest art. You know, I was just listening to Olivia Rodrigo's new song, and talk about an honest song. You know, it's every lyric just is so real, and that song is beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, with every song on this album, we wanted to come from was just like, it felt weird. It felt like very against the rules in our brains, you know, to write
like,
about.
Oh, we're going to write about actual things that
we're
going to
write about people we've loved and people we've hated and people, you know, like, it felt like some like shameful thing to do, or not shameful. That's a big word to use, but yeah, it didn't feel like the right thing to do, but equally we were like, this is what. Is, you know, it was more of a journal than like a song we thought we were coming out with when we wrote them. And now here we are coming out with them, and you know, fans are like, oh, this one means so much to me, versus like it just sounds good, you know. And I think that's new for us.
That's a lot more like payoff, at least for me too as an artist, knowing like, okay, I went through something, then wrote about it, and it's actually out in the world helping other people go through the same thing that I did. Like, and knowing that, you know, they're not alone in that. I think that's really cool.
I think a song that really captures that is Be Myself.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
And
that's my favorite. That and Love Song. I've been,
those are crazy.
Another thing I read on the internet, so correct me if I'm wrong, did that song start with a conversation between Jack and Daniel?
Yeah, it was Jack and everyone, actually.
It was Jack and everyone.
We all just sat down and Jack kind of
laid it out. This was during COVID, right when COVID kind of started. Well, no, after like we were taking a second away from each other for like 2 months, we ended up seeing each other again. Met up right back in this room.
I don't think we'd ever been anxious around each other until that day.
Yeah, it was weird.
We went from like the high of touring together to like being home away from, we hadn't been separated from each other in 3 years for a single day, like literally it was like it was like weird not seeing each other that long, and then suddenly catching up in like normal life, like reality, like we
remembering like we are a band.
it was just like we didn't even like know what to talk about, because we honestly had done everything together already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In those 3 years, we lived so much life that it was God. Like, what do you talk about when you've traveled the world together, played for thousands of people, literally been in just about every situation that you could think of together every day, 25/8. And then, yeah, you don't see each other for a month or two. Yeah, what do you talk about? Like, it was weird.
So Jack came in that day, and he kind of just opened up about how he was feeling, how anxious he was. And it's weird because we all like felt the same way. Yeah. And like we were all like, dude, like we feel you 100%. Like it's been so weird. And
And it was such a good way, I think, for us to get back into the swing of things together too. Like after not seeing each other, one of the first conversations we had was like just about how we've been feeling over the break. And although it was a negative conversation, you know, about like anxiety and you know, feeling that and sadness and whatever, it was, I think on a positive note, it brought us back to that space of like, yeah, like we're brothers and we can talk to each other about this. We should talk to each other about this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Was it hard at first, Jack, to bring that up? Or did you know that you know, they were the people that you could go
honestly,
to?
Honestly, it was weird for me because, like, it was like, I felt so, like, scared every day that I was just to the point where I was like, I just want to, like, ask someone about it. Like, because I would look on Google all the time, like, why do I feel this feeling? Why do I feel this feeling? I freak myself out.
Google makes it worse.
Yeah.
WebMD. Hey, you're about to die.
Like, it was like, thing I looked up though, they're like, oh, it's just anxiety. I'm like, why is anxiety like this? So I ended up, you know, going to the guys and I'm like, yo, like, it's honestly really hard for me to like go to the studio because I'm like always like in my head thinking I'm like about to die.
Like, yeah, you were saying you couldn't even drive. Like,
yeah, like I couldn't drive. Like, it scared me to drive because I would like just experience some weird things in my head.
Dude, but even in, you can't discredit too, like, there is really a high to being on tour and playing for people every night and being looked at in that way. I don't know, if is it called serotonin or what is that, like, there's a drug in
dopamine,
your dopamine level. Dopamine. I read this whole article, I think Sean talked about it, and I looked into the doctor that he was talking to, and your dopamine levels go skyrocketing, like, way more than they should. And it does, it's like a high, and the come down is pretty crazy. Like, we went from literally touring, you know, 3 years straight, playing shows every night. Like, you're in this like world where time doesn't exist. Nothing really matters out there, which I don't know if that's good or bad, you know, but you come back home and reality just smacks you in the face. Like, you know, it's so cliche, but you're doing your laundry and you're just like, so like, what is going on? Like, it hits you in the weirdest ways, but,
well, it's really easy on tour to, like, completely, like things will come up if it's anxiety or, you know, feeling sad or, you know, thinking about certain things. And it's so easy to just kind of, like, push that right back down because you have something to go do. It's like, oh, I can run off to go do meet and greet and then our show. And then a promoter wants to take us out and we're in Barcelona tonight. Like, this will be awesome. And then you don't have to think about it. And it just is this continuous thing. And all of a sudden you're a year down the road and you're like, whoa. What is life? And then you hit quarantine and it's like a whole different thing. So I think that's what that whole conversation was like.
Does music at all help you manage anxiety? Or it's not really a solvable problem. I mean, it is, I guess, for some people, but it's more of a management thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Like, because with Be Myself, Daniel came to the studio and like showed us, and I hadn't listened to the lyrics really. I was listening to melodies and like production, and I was like, yo, this is so dope. But then Daniel sent it to us to listen to, and on my way home, I started playing it, and I was like, I listened to the lyrics, and I realized like it was literally everything I was going through, and I started like crying, because I'm like, holy shit, like this is like crazy. And I went to Daniel the next day, and I was like, I went up to him, I hugged him, I was like, yo, thank you for writing this. And he's like, yeah, dude, I wrote it about you.
And then, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And no, because like, it brings you closer together, right?
Oh, yeah, no, totally. Sure. And then it was just crazy because I'm like, well, shit, I love my bandmate.
No, yeah, it was like a different closeness. Like, we've been close in a way where, like, when you're on tour, we all equally don't have to give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and then being home, we all equally had to figure out, you know, what to care about and who to care about together. And that was like a whole different, we hadn't been close in that thing, way. Yeah. You know, that was new for us. But I think it, for every artist, I think they could agree it, in a weird way, it was really good for everyone.
Oh,
super
yeah.
Super good.
Yeah.
Jack, I was gonna ask, you seemed so happy when you were in Hawaii with your daughter. Does the feeling of anxiety kind of get lifted when you're there, or do you still have it when you're
That's what you said, huh?
Yeah, it's because I had to start, like, I was going through a lot of personal stuff at the beginning of the year, with just like, you know, trying to see my daughter and stuff because COVID hit. And I think, like, in the back of my brain, I was just like super like sad that I couldn't see her, and it was like stressing me out. So we finally like figured out how I can like go see her every month now, and it's been so good. Like, I can, you know, watch her grow rather than just like not see her for a few months, and she's like so much bigger.
Damn,
it's like crazy. But like now she's like talking and walking, and it's ridiculous.
And she's a human now, like a real one.
We haven't gotten to see her in a really long time, but he always FaceTimes us all like when he's with her, and it's the best.
She's always like, hello.
She's like, hello.
She's like, hello. Bike.
Bike.
The other day she goes, that's a bike.
Gotcha.
Being a part of that and being able to watch this human being that you created grow and turn to a real life person that can do things, that is, it's pretty remarkable, and it changes the way you look at life, right?
Oh yeah, totally. Like, it hit me today pretty crazy because I was like, because I'm looking at this ring. I got this ring for Christmas. My mom got it for me, and it has her birthday on it. It says 4/22/19. And I was looking at it. I was showing Casper, our photographer. You guys know him. And I was like, holy shit, like, April is right around the corner. Like, it's she's about to be 2 years old. Like, my own daughter is about to be two.
That's crazy.
Like, that, like, trips me out.
Imagine
so
your
much.
Daughter being 10.
I know. That's what.
That should be crazy.
I know. John was like, yo, just wait. Like, you have no idea.
I can't wait till she can, like, come to our shows and, like, like, understand what's going on.
Dude, what the heck? Imagine your daughter being, like, 15.
Oh. No.
Oh. That's crazy.
Lav.
To think about. Like, we'll all be like
be
30,
so
right?
Yeah.
Damn.
When she's 15, I'll be like,
that's crazy.
34 or something.
36?
I don't know. I can't do math. This is why I am an artist.
I want to keep going track by track here because I want to really go through the entire album. It is, it's so good for you. Where does that song start?
That started
Dallas on the Jingle Ball tour.
No,
it didn't start
Asia.
There. Yeah, you had the melody in Asia.
Yeah,
but we actually
Indonesia,
wrote the majority of it.
We did write the majority of it in Dallas.
In Dallas,
after watching the Travis Scott documentary. such a good documentary. But yeah, that one started in where was that Lazy River Hotel?
It was Jakarta, right?
Jakarta. Yeah, we started that one in Jakarta. I was listening to Takeaway, Lennon Stella, Chainsmokers, and I was like, oh, that hook was crazy. And that's where it started, and then we kind of just left it there. And then me, Joan, and Corbin finished that one in Dallas, like on the same tour, but, you know, like a month later or so when we were there.
Mm-hmm. So does a song start with production for you, or is it starting with lyrics?
Usually some production, like some chords.
some chords, melodies typically first, and then
lyrics like after that.
Yeah, we start with something that just catches your ear. Mm-hmm. You know, something where you're like, ooh. And then once you got that, now you got to dig into, like, what is the song saying? You know, what are you trying to say? And all that. And mm-hmm. that typically follows.
Mm-hmm. So a song like Be Myself, did you already have the production done and then the story came? Or did you do it all at once?
So I had... Well, so I actually... I had, like, this weird... thing where I just had like a hunch that we had to make a song that we could do on tour with no, you know, lights, production, anything, just us around a mic with guitars and our instruments and just like very like Mumford and Sons style, you know, just something so stripped down. And so that was like the idea going into it. And yeah, I just had like the... But that one... The lyrics actually came pretty in hand with the melodies. Because the second I put that down, it felt very, like, in that vein, you know? Mm. And I feel like that you can, you know, if you just heard the music, you could feel that it would lean that way. Like, that's typically how you decipher what to write about.
So, okay, we're going to go back to I'll Be Okay. There's a moment where there's just, like, a voice memo in there. Something about this shit sounding sick.
Oh yeah,
at the end.
Yeah.
That's oh, that was shit. In the studio, yeah. I think. What you just planned. Did like an ad lib yeah. take or something, yeah. And yeah, and at the end he just goes, "Oh shit, that sounds sick," and we just decided to keep it. We were just like,
"God, that's a horn.
Yeah, that's dope. Keep that in there."
Yeah. Again, we could just mess around and try things. You know, we were like, mm-hmm. "Oh, that's cool. All right, let's put it in." You know, it's not. It's just music. It's not that serious.
Yeah,
it's just music.
Is that where the laugh at the beginning of Look at Me came from, just playing around?
that's actually the Joker, Heath Ledger. That's like a sample from the movie. And he's like, look at me, look and he's like me. Laughing.
Look at me.
Yeah, that was just random messing around. That was our mixer masterer guy, Jason Joshua. He sauced that one up. Or was that Mike?
I think Mike Seberg. Shout out.
Shout out Mike. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was funny because, yeah, we were trying to think of like an intro for the song before you go straight into just the bass line. And Mike was like, he looked up Look at Me audio. And there was this video that was like 10 hours of Look at Me. And like 2 minutes in, thank God it wasn't like 2 hours in, but. 2 minutes in, the Joker popped up and was like, look, and we were like, oh my God, we need that. Put that in. Yeah. Like it was perfect for it.
I have in my notes, so sly and sexy. That was my takeaway from the record. Just, you know.
That's sick. Thanks.
It's a groove.
That's got from
you should have heard the original song of that. There's a whole rap song over it.
Yeah. Well, we did this thing where when we're bored... Sometimes on tour or just not on tour, we'll just make like the hardest rap song we can possibly make. Like it just sort of like removes the writer's block. So that beat came from one of those songs and the beat was so good. We were like, we should try to like use this for something. And then Look at Me happened after that.
You guys said you wrote a song and then you didn't think it would be for you. You were thinking about pitching it to Five Sauce. What did that turn into?
That song, that was Love Song.
Love Song.
Oh, you said that. Okay.
That was Love Song.
That was Love Song. Yeah. We thought it was very in their vein. And then we were like, this is a Why Don't We song. And then now we're coming out with it. So that's pretty nuts.
So whose story is that?
Well, Daniel wrote it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. You could say it was my story.
It was his story. It's
my story. Wouldn't you feel weird giving that song that I guess I would assume was very personal to you to another band?
No, I mean, if, you know, music is meant to hopefully connect with more than just you. I think if a song only relates to you, you're doing something wrong. So, you know, I mean, I think it would have been cool, but I'm glad that we decided to keep it.
I mean, like, Julia Michaels wrote Sorry and gave it to Justin Bieber.
That was just in my head. Right?
Oh, really?
There's a lot of a lot of trades going on, for sure.
Too late now to say sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm glad we kept that one because now it's one of my favorites.
So,
but at the time, we were very in this place of, you know, we're coming out with the songs that, you know, the label's bringing to us and that sort of thing. So we were like, I don't think this one's going to come out, you know. And then the day came where we finally were like, let's put our foot down and come out with this smash.
So what song off this album best captures who each and every one of you are right now?
Whoa. Oh, man.
I'd say Love Song.
Which song?
Start off on topic.
I would say right now, For You.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good one.
For me. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like Lotus Inn, for me, I feel like Lotus Inn is just like a happy song about, you know, just like meeting a girl and you're trying to get her and you never want the night to end, whatever, having a good time.
Which, by the way, I Googled Lotus Inn. It is a real motel near LAX. It looks disgusting.
Yes, that's crazy.
We figured that out after we released it. We're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
We should all go there.
Don't stay there. Jonah, did you answer? I don't think so.
I didn't. I'm trying to think. I think Stay. I love Stay so much. That one has been connecting with me lately.
Yeah. Your favorite one right now?
Yeah. It kind of switches off, though. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Did you answer, Jack?
Mine's for sure Look At Me.
Yeah, all the way. Kind of connecting with Look At Me.
Yeah, Look At Me for sure.
Yeah.
Look At Me.
Look At Me.
Yeah, yeah, I'm connecting a lot with Look At Me.
The Good Times and the Bad Ones. That is the album. There's a link in the description below. You really should listen to it. It's a phenomenal body of work.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
What have you learned now that this album is done?
Make music to just have fun and make music.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing.
Don't try to, you know, be someone else.
Don't think too much.
Yeah.
And if you have a goal, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you have a dream, don't give up.
Yeah. That's true. And we've really gotten the chance to, like, come into our own with this album. And, you know, we really built up the confidence within ourselves to be able to do this. And it's been so fun just being actual, like the actual center of the creation process has been, like, that was the newest thing for us. And it's been so incredibly fun and
validating.
And super validating.
Yeah,
just live your life. Like, don't take no for an answer.
Follow your gut. I feel like
we did a lot of that.
Like, we kind of just knew we should do this, you know? This is how we started before we were even in the band playing instruments. So now it's like, it's just, it needed to be done, you know?
You've brought up Shawn Mendes once or twice. Do you think this album is going to change the way your peers see you?
I would hope so.
Yeah,
I would hope so,
I mean, Daniel, it's very few people can write a song 100% on their own, and I'm pretty sure you have at least one where it's just you, right?
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Actually, it's you've got like
couple,
two.
I think two.
Oh, yeah.
Myself, love song.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot that aren't even.
Again,
on
though, it's funny because, you know, if you asked me a year or two ago, could you write and produce a song, you know, for the guys, I would be terrified and be like, no. More so just because, you know, people are telling us no and, like, you don't have what it takes and all this baloney. But I feel like we were like, how are you going to let another human being, just another person, tell you, being just another human being, that you can't do what you want to do? Like, obviously, you know, we were born to make music to some extent. You know, we can all sing and play instruments, like, arrogance aside, you know, but we all feel this gifting in music. So I don't know, for me it was almost like, how am I going to take advice from, especially someone who's not, you know, gifted in that way? How are they going to put me down and tell me I can't do it? You know, I just, there's a lot of that in this business and just in people in general. They, you know, some people just don't want to see other people succeed. And I would just say, like, just go for it, you know?
Well, in the 30 Days episode, Daniel, you were talking about how Fallen, I guess, didn't connect with the fans as much as you want. Why do you think that happened?
I think honestly, a big portion of it was, you know, we were gone for a long time, 9 months. And honestly, I was equally blown away by the fact that the fans stuck with us that long, because that's almost a year of waiting. That's a long time. And equally, you know, I think that they you know, didn't expect such a different sound. And we didn't really have the time after COVID hit to explain fully who Why Don't We was and why the sound changed and all this stuff. You know, we were on the same page with them before the 9 months of where we were at. And, you know, we didn't really get to explain it fully. And I think now they're really starting to understand, you know, how much we care about the music. But yeah, I mean, it was such a clutter of just like a tough season of, you know, just dying to put out the music. And so the second we could, we threw Fallen out. But I wish, you know, we had a moment to explain, I guess, you know, where we were at.
I think also we should mention that we set our expectations really high.
Fallen didn't.
So it's, you know. Yeah, no, Fallen has done very well for us, and we're super appreciative of the reaction and everything. But, you know, when we came out with it, we were like, oh, this is, you know, our expectation was this is going to be our number one. This is going to be our huge debut. Like, yeah. But, oh, Google's talking.
Google's tweaking out. Hold on.
But that was our first song to hit the Billboard Hot 100. It came in at number 37 on the Hot 100, which was crazy, and we were flipping out. We were like,
hey, Google, stop talking.
Self-written, fully self-produced. It was just one of those things where we were like, oh, my God, like, our song is actually doing this. But, I mean, our expectations are always really high, so I feel like we continuously don't meet our expectations because we set them so high. But I think that's also kind of contributed to just our drive and our dedication to just keep moving forward, because there's a lot of boxes on our bucket list that we haven't checked off yet, and an equal amount, if not more, that we have checked off. But we're always looking at, like, what's next, how can we do better for our fans and for ourselves. And like,
After you put out Fallen, you then did Lotus In and Slow Down. Were you happy with the reaction to those two?
Yeah. Slow Down's my favorite music video we've shot. Yeah. Lotus In, I'm just dying to do live. Yeah. That song is meant to be performed live, and that was like literally the whole motive behind Lotus In. But yeah, I mean, this whole album we've just been so excited to put out, and so now I think I'm really in the boat of, I want them to hear the whole thing, you know? Mm-hmm. I think the whole, that's what's tough, is this whole album is what really tells the fans a story that we were hoping they would already know when Fallen came out, you know? But I think they'll get it when they hear the whole, you know, the whole thing. But I can't blame them, you know, for being a bit thrown off, because we came out with, was it Chills before Fallen?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Came out Chills. Totally different sound than Fallen, and then a year later came out with Fallen, and you know, that's like it's a lot to swallow as a fan. It's very different, you know. But again, they came around, and you know, that's not easy to do as a fan typically, so I, you know, really thankful that they did, you know, grow to love it.
The Good Times and the Bad Ones, that is the name of the album. You gotta listen to it. There's a link in the description below, and personally, in my opinion, I think you have positioned yourself with this new album perfectly to feed those who have been with you from the very beginning, but also bring on a bunch of new people that weren't there before. So, bravo. Just keep making art that's true to you. It hits different, and it's really fucking awesome. It sounds really great, and you should be forever proud. I do love you, too.
Thanks, man.
And,
thank you, bro.
Yeah, y'all are superstars.
Jack, I had a question.
Thank you so much.
What's up, bro?
Is there a reason you're the only one wearing black on the album cover?
Is he?
It's kind of like the ugly duckling effect.
The black sheep, literally.
Wow. Yeah, the black sheep thing.
I don't know. I just decided to look the freshest that day.
Okay.
We'll leave it up to the fans.
That's the proper answer.
You guys, I thought too much into it, and I thought maybe everyone's wearing white, Jack's wearing black, you mix it together, you get gray. I thought it was a representation of the song Gray.
Hey, that's actually that.
Damn,
exactly really what we thought.
You're right.
Yeah, so from the jump when we started Gray. Thoughts,
though, man. How did you know, bro?
I don't know. I guess I just figured it out.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So good.
What else do you have stirring in your head? Anything?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, well, I just want to, like, so usually, you know, you put out an album or a project, you get ready to go on tour. What do you guys do now?
We make more music?
We go home and cry.
Maybe a virtual concert, hopefully. Or, yes. I don't know, man.
Yeah, we're thinking about
at a virtual show.
We're dying to get on the road, so we'll see.
Just nothing is the same.
At the same time, the virtual show is not the same.
I will say we got more music. You know, this is the start of something new.
It feels so right to be here.
It's not like we're going to make this album and disappear again. You know, this is just the start.
This is our baby. And to some extent, too, we're kind of mentally treating this album almost like a debut album.
Yeah.
Because it is the start of something new for us. You know, no pun intended. Nah, actually, pun intended.
Yeah,
but,
take it.
Yeah, that was a good point.
Yeah, so I think it's only up from here. And I think we found our sound for the time being, and I think we've really done a lot of like exploring sonically and just within ourselves, and so for us it's only up from here, and we're just ready to take our fans with us and write some more great music.
I also think just like longevity wise it's a good move. Like I think people think of boy bands and they're like, oh, you know, there'll be a thing for 4 or 5 years and then that'll be that and it's a whole thing. So I feel like with us actually making the music and writing the songs and producing it and playing instruments on stage and that kind of a thing, it's not so much like manufactured by the whole machine that is the music industry. And then they decide when we're done. It's like more like, no, we can make it, you know what I mean? Like we're doing it, and I don't know. I think fans will feel that, and we'll be around 10 years from now. You know,
well, that I was gonna ask about that. So you know, you guys have been labeled a boy band. We've joked about the man band thing in the past, but at what point do you guys just become a band if you're a bunch of guys on stage playing instruments?
After this, do you mind if we rap? Sorry, they got to jump.
Oh. Yeah,
I mean. A good question. I don't think now it's necessarily about not being a boy band and shoving that aside. You know,
we are
heads,
a boy band.
In our heads, it was that for a while because of just, you know, what was not whispered in our ears, but, you know, the conversations you have with the people of the industry, you know, and kind of like what Jonah was saying, the whole shelf life of a boy band and, you know, the connotation around the word boy band. We were like, we don't want to be labeled as this one single thing. But yeah. I think there's also something like, we can't deny the fact that we're five guys in a band.
And, dude, I love being in a boy band. Are you kidding me?
If anything,
I would never get a girl if I'd say I was in a boy band.
If anything, I think our goal now would be to just take that, whatever negative connotation some people have around that term, I hope we can take it and give it a new light. For bands now and bands in the future, you know?
But also perceptions are going to change the second y'all are behind instruments, you know, and actually performing.
Yeah, and we just, like, I don't know, we don't want to, I think there's this weird roboticness that comes with, like, boy band. And we're like, we are a boy band, but we're not going to, you know, we do love music and we want to make the music we love to make. We don't want to just like go for the here's the boy band, like, you know, package deal.
The good times and the bad ones. Why don't we? I appreciate you guys taking the time and hanging out.
Yeah.
Link in the description below. Please listen to the album. It's a treat for your ears.
I like that. I like the way that you put that.
Hopefully,
thanks so much.
Next album, it's in person. Please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
We got to figure that out.
Yeah,
I just want to see this your cute face good. on behind the mask, you know.
Thank
know,
you so
yeah.
much.
Yeah,
you have a nice couch there, but it's not the same as mine.
No, not
the
even
couch
close.
Is sitting in the kitchen.
No pillows or nothing.
I know. Yeah.
Sorry.
That cat pillow that you have.
Well, congratulations to each and every one of you on this release. You should be very, very proud.
Thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks so much, man.
Thank you for all the support, man. You've always shown us.
Always, forever and always. And it's very cool to hear those songs from that day in Memphis come to life like this. It's fucking amazing.
Oh, dude, that day was a day.
Yeah.
It was a day.
It was a day.
Hey, love and appreciate you guys. Have a great day and a great release week.
Right. Yeah, thank you so much, brother. Thanks for having us on the
peace
show,
out,
y'all.
Man.
Anytime. Hey, beautiful human. Thanks for joining our conversation with Why Don't We? I really appreciate you. Please let me know what you're listening to and who we should talk to next. Zach Sang on Twitter, Instagram, all of it. Peace and love. Talk soon.